read, let's read verses 5 through 8 in Matthew's Gospel first. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him, verse 5, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And then there's a few more verses in between of that encounter, and then verse 13 at the end of that portion. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. But the things I'd like to talk about first are verse 5. The centurion was a Roman soldier, but he was in charge of 100 men under his authority. So in the military type of thing, he was given the authority, but he had 100 more soldiers under his authority. And yet he declared himself to be a man under authority himself because there were those above him. And so, but he had a need. And there were Roman soldiers in biblical times. We all know that. But it said he had a need in beseeching him. To beseech means to plead with, to almost to the point of begging in anguish. There's something wrong with my servant, and he needs help. And this is what he said, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And I pursued this a little further because I looked up in a biblical dictionary the word palsy. It's not a word that we're not unfamiliar with, this cerebral palsy and a lot of different, and it has to do with different parts of our bodies and paralysis in certain areas of the body. Generally, the person doesn't experience pain in those areas. It's just something is paralyzed. But this person, grievously tormented, and it was another definition that talked about of palsy, and it had to do with cramps. And to where usually it's prevalent in geographic areas where nights are chilly and damp. And people, their bodies like get cramps, but it's excruciatingly painful. I don't know if you've ever had even like a cramp in your leg, and you can't even move your leg, or you got to get your toes moving or something to break free from that cramp. Well, in this case, you can't. It just stays like that, and the pain is excruciating. And Luke's gospel described that in a little more detail, and that's why I wanted to look in there too, because a lot of times you can find these portions of scripture are overlapped with a little more information about it. I also wanted to focus on, and Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And so the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy. And I focused on that. I put that in blue so I could, when I printed this out, so that a lot of people have that same feeling of themselves, that they're not worthy to receive their healing. Like they've done something wrong or they don't measure up. And the centurion thought that. He said it. When Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, even in his beseeching, even in his plight, his desperation to intervene on behalf of his servant, said, I'm not worthy that you would even come to my house. And I just wanted to emphasize that a little bit, that don't ever feel in your own life that if God wills to do something for you or to bless you, this thing with Jason. Don't ever think that that you weren't worthy for the Lord to intervene in a way that perhaps you hadn't expected, or from a vessel that you hadn't anticipated, maybe, because sometimes we let our own natural knowledge and things that we're aware of override what God really wanted to do all along, and sometimes we can get in the way and hinder that. So that's a good word. But listen to what he said. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This is what the centurion said. And so I entitled this, Speaking the Word in Faith. And we know about Jairus' daughter that was dying, and he made a statement, just come and lay hands on my daughter and she'll live. The woman with the issue of blood, she said within herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. They spoke words in faith, even though they weren't, nobody was born again at the time, because Jesus wasn't crucified and resurrected yet, and the Spirit hadn't been given to indwell people. Even people in their natural existence had some knowledge of Jesus, and they witnessed all over the place the miracles and the signs and the wonders that this man did. To believe that he was their Messiah, there was a lot of doubt about that among the religious community. And the religious people didn't really have a lot of compassion for sick people or diseased people, but Jesus did. And so the centurion said, I'm not worthy, come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. The importance to us out of this is making a declaration of faith. Sometimes it's not a matter of prayer. Aaron, if you would you pull that photo up now? Because I want to use this example. This man standing with the microphone in the midst of all of these people, and this is only one side of the tent. There are more, and there's women all on the other side. And I was taken to a little village. There are about 8 or 9 villages that Pastor Sherrard takes me to each time I go back to India. And so among the villagers, we would have a meeting in one house, and the people would go through the village and they would bring all of the sick people to one house. The villagers would do that for each other. Isn't that such a concept? I mean, just think about that. Because people are close there. Their family units are close. We're kind of scattered about, but and so after that meeting, and Pastor Sherrard always interpreted for me, there were maybe 45 or 50 people, and they all sit cross-legged on straw mats on a dirt floor in their little huts, and Jesse saw some of that at the gypsy camp when I took him there. But they said there's one more, and we couldn't bring him, and he's on a mat. Will you come? And so it delayed our leaving to go back to our base camp. And this man was laying flat out on a straw mat on a cement slab outside of his house. And he was completely paralyzed from his neck down. No one seems to know how it happened, but it came upon him extremely suddenly. He was a man that a lot of people didn't like. He was the superintendent of, not every village had a school, but some did. But he was like a superintendent over that area where schools were. And if there was any disciplinary problems in the school, not only would the teacher whack you, but they would get the superintendent. He would come and whack you as well. And, you know, to make sure that you behave yourself in school. And so he wasn't well liked. And this happened to him. And so after praying for all those other people, I thought about this incident in the Bible, because when you go and you pray for lots of people all the time, a lot of times people in the Bible were like that too. There's always been sickness and disease since the fall of man. And they have certain similarities. They have certain characteristics of sickness and disease. So I just went to him and I laid hands on him and I commanded that spirit of paralysis to come out of him in Jesus' name. And it was like one sentence. And I got up to leave and everybody, that's it? That's all you're going to do? That's all you're going to say? And I said, yeah, let's go. And we left. And a few days later, on that weekend, the Saturday and Sunday, all these village people from all these villages would come to the Talavati church, the house where I stayed all the time with Pastor Sherrard. And that's where we would have the Sunday services, and all the villagers would come there. Well, this particular weekend, we had a big tent crusade. And you can see the outside of it. You can see through that little colorful cloth. There's a roof over it, that color. But it was just packed with people. There were over 300 people at the best count we could have because there weren't enough chairs. And we had 200 chairs, and there wasn't enough, and people were just sitting on the ground too. And there came that man. The next morning, from the time we went to see him at his house in that village, the next morning he woke up and he was completely well, and he got up off of that slab. And he said that he's giving his testimony, and the tears were streaming down his face of what had happened. And he couldn't wait to give a testimony of there he was. And half of these people that are all around him came with him because they were from his village and that cell group. It would testify that there he was laying totally helpless. They had to feed him. They had to bathe him. They had to help him go to the bathroom. Everything that your body needed, he needed help doing. And here he is giving his testimony and giving his heart to Christ. And that's the power that I'm talking about, just to speak to stuff. I didn't pray. There's a time for prayer, but there's also times when the Lord is going to ask you to say something or to speak to something. Jesus said, speak to the mountain, Mark 11:23. But to speak something in faith that you know to do. And speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, what do you think the word was that Jesus spoke even from a distance? Do you ever think about what he spoke? Do you think he might have spoken to palsy? Do you think he might have spoken to that sickness and disease? Because you see, oftentimes, we need to glean this as an example. It's a teachable moment. Let's go over to Luke's gospel now. I want to show you a couple other things here. And I have from Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, in verses 2 through 10. And you're going to see the same account, but with a little more detail. Luke was a physician too, so his Gospel tended to be a little more from a different perspective, if you will, but much more attentive to details as the Spirit gave him revelation. Verse 7, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. That's the difference already. Matthew said he was grievously tormented, and the reason he was grievously tormented is because this particular type of palsy had no cure. And when a person was of the type that cramped you and put excruciating pain in your body, you died within a few days because there's no doctors. There's no place where you can go get help quickly. And he was tormented, but it said that he was about ready to die. In verse 3, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews. Now here's a Roman occupation of Jerusalem and that whole area. But the centurion, in spite of having a low worthiness value about him, if you will, he sent for the elders of the Jews to go get Jesus. And I think that's a wonderful thing because it was the elders of the Jews that hated him and wanted to crucify him. And here the centurion says, my servant is in a fix. You go get this man Jesus and bring him to me. And I think that is just, I don't know what they said, but they went and got him. That he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. So the elders, the Jewish elders, saw a chance to get all puffed up right away. Oh, centurion, wow, he's looking at us to decide what to do with this guy, this sick guy. And so they had determined that this centurion was worthy. See, it's a different story. You're seeing something from the different side before. You see only what the centurion thought of himself, that he wasn't worthy. So the elders, the Jewish elders, came to Jesus, and they wanted to justify why Jesus should come. Not that this guy's dying, but this is a worthy man. You need to come because this man sent for you is worthy. He was worthy for whom he should do this. And look at the next verse. Oh, he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. So that they're trying to give the case a little credibility to entice Jesus to see if maybe he would come, because they're determining that this guy over here that's all tormented and lying on a mat or whatever, Jesus should need to come because this man loves your nation, and he even built you a synagogue. And it's like trying to bribe the Lord to come. And yet here's the man. Listen to this. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto the Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. So once again, you see the contrast of this worthiness and not worthy thing. If you do good works in your community, and you're known in your community that you're someone who does maybe public things in your community, and you fall on bad times, the community is going to be more favorable to responding to your needs than if you're a renegade and a scoundrel and you show up in the store with no mask and, you know, you need groceries. It's going to be hard to find somebody that's going to go do your shopping for you because, you know, you broke all the traditions, and so they're going to tend to look down on you for that. And it's the same principle. People are really, really strange about things like that, but it's a truth here that I really think the Holy Spirit would show us. And it has to do with our impression of ourselves versus what somebody else would say about us as to when it comes to healing and other things that the Lord wants to bless us with and give us. I've learned not to argue with somebody because they wanted to give me some money for something. I used to say, no, that's okay, I'm good. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I heard a teaching a long time ago in the Word of Faith part of me, that that's all of our whole Christian upbringing, was that never deny a person a blessing from God because they offer to give something to you. And you say no, and you stop their blessing. If someone wants to bless you with something, if they want to give you something, we've got to learn to be good receivers. Amen. We just really need to do that. So this is very relevant. And you don't find this account in such detail as you would here. And now here's, so, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. So we see that account is pretty much the same. But Luke gives a little background. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. So, Jesse, you can glean something out of this, being reasonably new in the military, and you see the echelon or the chain of command. And people that you're directly accountable to, they're also accountable to others above them, and it carries on up to the the chief of staff of the army or the guards or whatever you're in, but there's a chain of command. And so this man recognized that he was a man of authority, but he said, "For also I am a man." And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Now this is a Roman soldier coming to Jesus with a need. And Jesus marveled at him, and he turned him about, and he said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Of all the people that would have had faith, it would have been the ones that studied the scriptures for years and years, taught them in the synagogue, preached them every week. The fathers were attentive and responsible under the law to teach the law and commandments to their children. And as their children grew up, it was always to be the word of God taught in the homes. It was mandatory if you were Jewish. It was basically borderline mandatory to be doing these things. And yet here, it was a Roman soldier sent into their land, and Jesus honored him for his faith. And listen to what he said. "And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick." And I believe back in Matthew, the last verse, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go your way, as you have believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." So there's a lot of things that you can glean out of these few portions of scripture. But that man in India, these are things that I've learned over the time. I don't always pray the same. Sometimes I don't pray. I've learned that when you know God's will, there is nothing wrong with speaking the word, because you're speaking according to his will. Some of you know my friend Abraham back when we were doing the ecumenical services in Chester. Abraham was a Jewish brother, and then he got born again, filled with the Spirit, speaks in his heavenly language, and he pastors a church in the area, a Baptist church in the area. And he fell off his roof. He was up chopping ice and snow off the roof, and he fell off the roof, and he broke his arm. And he didn't call others in the same denomination of the church. He called me. He read my book. And he said, I'm not kidding, he said, he gave a testimony at one of our pastor's meetings, and he was relating that story. He said, "I called Rick because when he speaks to things, they die." That was all he knew how to say it. You know, it was a testimony. And he says, "So I want him to come up and pray for my arm." And I did. Brought the anointing oil up, sat in his kitchen, and his wife sat on one side, and me between him, and I laid hands on him, and he healed very quickly. He healed in 3 weeks. His arm that would normally medically take 6 weeks, his was healed in 3 weeks. And he still has that testimony. But I always remarked about how that made a difference in how he believed. Rick speaks to things and they die. But only the things I want dead die. Only the things that God wants dead will die, okay? Because there's a lot of things I'd like to see die, but I'm not. but that's the Rick part of me. You know, you got your part of you that'd like to see a few things dead too. So that's our opening scripture. And I hope that you were able to glean something out of that for yourselves. And don't, for the sake of the gospel and for Christ's reputation and for the Lord's, don't ever think that you're not worthy, and that you've got to have a resume to bring before you to present before the Lord would care about you to heal you. Please don't think like that again. Let this be helpful to you and cause you to be open in your spirit when God wants to minister to you or speak to you or send people to you. Don't turn them away. Be open to receive and learn to have a reachable, teachable spirit. Because we're all, you know, we all do walk our faith out together. And we learn from each other and let today, and that I hope you'll remember that man giving that testimony, because that can be you. That can be your testimony one day, that maybe you were dead to something, you were paralyzed to something, and the Lord set you free. And don't hesitate to shout it from the rooftop, because people need to know that our God is still a healing God and a caring God and a loving God. And whether they're saved or not, many of the people I saw healed were unsaved Hindus that worshipped 90 million gods and goddesses. And yet the same Jesus that saved me is the one that healed them. And when we got saved, God already declared us worthy, because Christ died even before we knew him. And he made us worthy even before we knew that he had made us worthy, because of the blood. And that will never lose its power. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's have huggy break and just bask in his goodness today.